weeks ago, me and Tom and Verlin met in my house for an elders meeting, and Tom asked me if I would preach Genesis 2. So I'm going to do that. But for a minute, we're going to, he asked me if I would take just a few moments to be thankful, and to, we would pray for the veterans that we know, if you know any. I just want to share, I saw a cartoon. It wasn't funny. It was a really valid point for young people today are so far removed from war, even I am in my life. But the cartoon had a little girl, and they were in their backyard, and there was a picnic table, and he's grilling, and she's sitting there kind of, you know, playing around, and she says, so Daddy, what's the big deal about Memorial Day? Anyway, so you see the ground. So there's the ground, the grass, then there's dirt. And then below it, it had RIP, like, you know, you can picture an old round tombstone. And it had Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, wars in Afghanistan, Iraq. And he said, you're staying on it. She had no idea. We have no idea. One of my grandfathers, my dad's dad was in the German theater. My mom's dad was in the Philippines, and my uncle was in Vietnam. And my mom's dad and my uncle came back messed up. They were messed up. The things that they saw were, they never talked about. So that said, there are people who have paid a great cost in their life for us to be free, to come here and free to gather. There are many places in the world you cannot do this and just ring a bell and have people come. You cannot do that. So there are many men and women who have given their lives for us to do that. So I just wanted to quickly pray and thank the Lord for their service, and that we would be mindful of that. Father, I just want to come before you. We come before you as a people. And I recognize that there are many men and women who have given their lives, their limbs, that we might be free, that we could come here and freely worship you and gather with one another and lift up the name of Jesus. So we pray that today, that for veterans around here, Lord, that you would be with them, and especially, Lord, those who know you, that you would minister to them, and Lord, if there's some in this area that do not know you, that you would bring people in their life to share the good news of Jesus with them, that you open up their hearts. So we just want to thank you for this free place we have, and the sacrifices that so many people have given. I pray that we'd be aware of that and caring. I also want to lift up our missionaries to you, Lord. We lift them up to you and pray that you would be with them today, that you'd comfort them, and Lord, for the ones that are stuck, I pray you get them out unstuck, that they'd be free, the ones that are in India. My darling will go back. For Mina, I pray that you minister to her with her loss. She would give her comfort. And Father, I pray that as I share from your word this morning, that you would give me words that would be pleasing to you. Help me be careful how I share, and to communicate clearly and slowly, that I wouldn't talk too fast. So we just submit this time to you, and Lord, we thank you for your goodness, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just a quick little note. When Tom asks, you know, me to preach, I've only done a couple times, two or three times. It's intimidating. I'm a painter. I used to preach more than I do now. But, you know, Tom is his ability to retain scripture to me is mind-blowing. It's unbelievable. I've never met anybody like that. And he's obviously articulate, and he's done this so many times. So it's intimidating for someone like me at times to do this. So, and we're very different. I'm a very simple guy. My hope today is that when you guys leave, there's a few points that you see from the passage in Genesis 2 that will make you think about how to respond to people or to the Father. So I'm going to go ahead and read Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through the end. And then I'm going to have basically three points, one very briefly and two a little more in depth. Genesis 2:4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, river water in the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was no suitable helper found. So Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with his flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and it will become one flesh." The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So there's a number of things in this passage, I mean, you guys have heard over the years, there's all kinds of things we can talk about. All kinds. But as I was praying and pondering this, the Lord began to speak to me on a couple of things, so I'm going to share briefly on three separate things. If you'll look with me in verse 9, it says, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food." And as I was reading this, I don't know how many times you guys have read this passage. People talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and man and woman, which we're going to get to that. But I thought, pleasing to the eye, why would he say that? Because it talked, you know, how many sermons have you heard about that? He took the fruit and it's good, and he made it good. Okay, so it's the looking part. And I began to ponder on this, and so I have an illustration for you that I thought the Lord gave me to share with you. So let's say me and Cindy are going to go to Drew Renee's house. We're not here, so I was just thinking about. And we go to their house, and Renee makes great lasagna. Really good lasagna. So is my wife, but Renee's is also very, very, very good. So we go there, and we have lasagna. It smells good. And you eat it, and it's wonderful. What is my response? What is our response when we go to someone's house that happens?
Thank them.
You thank them. And you compliment. "Renee, this lasagna is really good. It tastes great. Thank you so much for preparing this for us. It was pleasing to the eye." The Father is incredible kindness and goodness. Gave us smell, taste, hearing, seeing. So first of all, it's a wonderful gift that he's given us. But what's it for? It's easy to go around with it. It's pleasing to the eye. Guys, when you go out today and you see the mountains, it should cause us to say, "Father, thank you. It's incredible. It's beautiful. Yesterday, me and Sydney went to Missoula, and a bald eagle flew right over our car. Okay? And so it's like, wow, that is awesome, Lord. Thank you so much. When the Lord has little things like this in here, it's not for just any purpose. It's a continuation of what Tom was sharing last week. Genesis 2, part of it, and this part of it, there's a place where it should cause us to praise and worship and thank God. So it's whether or not, if you're going somewhere and you have some food, or let's say you see a bird and it's making some pretty sound for those people who can't see. I've often heard they have extra sense, you know, their other senses are amplified. When you, the things that you see in life to enjoy, I would encourage you to know where it came from, and as believers, to thank the Father and to worship Him. It was pleasing to the eye. So, along those lines, when I was a week and a half ago, I was going to work in Gold Creek, and Gold Creek, there's a valley, and there's this mountain that had almost no snow on it. And it was a Friday, and I said, Father, and it was supposed to rain. I remember the rain we got last week. I said, I pray you bring lots of snow. I pray that when I come back here Monday or Tuesday, I can come back and just worship and thank you for the snow. And so, sure enough, the Lord brought all this snow. And guys, I get there early, so it's sunrise. It's all green. There's white snow and clouds. And the sun's come up beaming on the white part of the mountain. It was incredible. And I said, I was worshiping God, saying, thank you, Father. Thank you. Remember all this, I've been studying these passages and making me think about God. And I want to share something God spoke. He spoke to me really clear. And this is something for us to just think about, ponder on. He said to me, Mike, you think that's beautiful? He said, wait till you get to see me. Think about it, folks. The things that we think are incredible, He just makes them. He just makes them. Just a thought. Something we have to look forward to be absolutely blown away when we get to be in His presence. It's going to be incredible. It's just going to be incredible. So that's the only point I had about that. And here's a quickie, because the third part I'm going to share, I'm going to spend the most time on. But just here's a thought. Okay, if you look at verse, this also stood out to me in verse 11. In 12, it says, the name of the first is Pishon, talking about the rivers flowing out from Eden, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good, and is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. And I thought it was just interesting. I'm not going to spend just a micro bit of time on this, okay? Why would God mention gold? At this point, there's not even men yet. There's no man. There's no reed. There's no trading. God mentions gold. Okay? Then that's the second chapter, even though it wasn't written in chapters. In the very back of the book. This is chapter 2. This is chapter 21. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold. Verse 18, 21:18. The wall was made of jasper in the city of pure gold. The great street of the city was of pure gold like transparent glass. Is it real gold? I don't know. Nobody knows. There. Is it metaphoric? I don't know. It could very well be gold, because God does mention gold in the beginning. And if you remember in the tabernacle, the ark was pure gold. A lot of the utensils were pure gold, and things that were not gold, pure gold, were overlaid in pure gold. Just a thought. Some of you guys maybe ask the Lord, what does this mean, Lord? Because it's fairly significant for God to mention and have in the city. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting that He has it in there, and God's wanted to bring it in there. So now here's where we're going to spend most of our time. Not that it's any less important than us being thankful for the things that we see that are pleasing to the eye that we recognize from the Father. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and read, and I guess you could call this part God's divine order. Okay. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 2, of course, and I'm going to start in verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good For the man to be alone, I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see whether he would, what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. Over in verse, if you look in Genesis, right, the first chapter, in verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the livestock of all of the earth. So the first thing I want to share about God's divine order is that God has given us dominion over the animals, the fish, the birds. And the reason I'm bringing this up, I want to share a little bit about it, is because in our culture, in our society, it's askew. There are people who will go out and literally chain themselves to a tree, or they'll try to, people that are whaling, that they'll, I'm not saying you should, I'm not going to address the issue of whaling, but they have no problem killing babies. They have no issue with abortion. But even more on a more practical level, and please let me go all the way through this before you get, if in case you might get mad at me about animals, okay? People have given place to an animal that they ought not have. It's not just here, it would be in Europe as well. So one example of dominion, though, I'll give you is that back when I was in Tennessee, this is maybe an extreme example, but it happened. There's a lady that I know, her name, we call her Mrs. Kimmer. My good friend Hank's a farmer. His mom, was, as far as I know, Mrs. Kimmer was a farmer's wife for her whole life. So she's out in the field one day, and a bull's coming toward her pretty fast. If you guys have ever been around bulls, they're big. I've been really worked with cattle. If they run it, they can very easily just kill you. Just like they're incredibly, they're something else. They're powerful. And so it's running toward her, and she's a strong woman of God. And she says, bull, I command you in the name of Jesus to stop. Sure enough, the bull stopped. The bull wasn't a leisurely walking guy. The bull was charging. The Lord gave her dominion over that bull. Period. That's not normal. Bull start charging, usually they finish the job, usually, you know. So, okay, so that said, so you may ask, okay, so what's the relevance for this today? Remember, I'm like a simple guy, so how does it, what I see in Genesis, Lord, how does it work in my life today? And so the relevance is now we have, let's go ahead and go to the where most people we know are, that we, people, okay, we now have dog spas, dog hotels, things that are just over the top, that people, they value dogs as much, or cats, or ferrets, as much or more than people. Now we're talking about God's divine order. Remember, have you guys ever seen an animal name a person? Have you ever seen a dog walk a person? You ever seen the zoo? The zoo there, and the people are in the cages, and you know, you don't, do you? We have dominion. That's God's proper order. They are to be cared for, and I'm going to get into that in just a second, but understand, so the reason I'm going here is because people see it out of order. They don't worship the Father. They don't recognize that God has made us in his image. It's his order. I didn't write it. He wrote it. And that we're supposed to see it that way. Period. And so, my wife was telling me that we were at animal store, a pet store, remember that you said? And she said that there was a stroller for a dog that was nicer than any stroller that we ever had for our kids. And then she made the point, aren't you supposed to walk the dog for exercise? I mean, think about that guy. So that said, in our culture, this is not some small thing. It's huge. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying you should just go beat your animals, okay, or not care for them. We had a little Jack Russell Terrier. I love, his name is Max. We cared for Max. We fed Max. Micah took him for rides on his bike. When it was totally cold, this much snow on the ground, Max was only this tall. Okay, his legs were like this. So imagine 10 blowout, we got this much snow in the backyard. His dumb master would go out there and shovel a place so he could go to the bathroom in the grass. So it's not that I don't care about animals. I do. And guess where he would go to the bathroom, by the way? He wouldn't go there. I couldn't believe that. So my point being, though, is that I'm not saying don't care for your animals. That's not the Father's desire. But as a people, we need to understand when we come in contact and we see it, and it's a spiritual thing, guys. The little thing I have written down here, because it's not just a couple people. It's nationwide, and it's also in Europe as well. It's a huge thing. It gets bigger. Have you noticed it's changed? Do you think there was a dog spa 50 years ago? There was not. Except for maybe the ultra rich, there was not dog strollers 50 years ago. And it just gets more and more and more. What you see, it gets more and more out of order. And so what I see it as is, I think like this that cover broad portions of culture, is that it's a spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. That's what the battle is. Because it causes people to have a perverted idea, a wrong sense of the importance of people. That dogs are more important than people, or a cat's more important than a person. And the Father says, no, let's make man in our image. He didn't say, let's make the kitty cat in our image. You see what I'm saying? So when people go there, they're being lied to from the image, and they really believe it. It's a lie. So as Christians, our response is not to blast people, but if the circumstance comes up, that we speak the truth in love. Because this is what God says. This is his order. So, I do care for animals, but I also recognize that the Father would have us understand how he's placed, according to what it says here in Genesis, things in order. Now I'm going to come to the last part that I think is the most, I think, pertinent to our times. So, from Genesis 20 through the end of the chapter. So, the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place of the flesh. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, the man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife and become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Over in verse 127, it says, "So God created man in his own image." This is really important here, guys. The image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So what's the relevance for today? I would just say to you guys, LGBTQ. This is not just an acronym. What it represents is demonic and it's evil to the core. Yes. Think about it. He made them male and female. It's his divine order. I'm going to get through this. The relevancy today is where I'm going to get into here is that how it permeates culture. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 1. And here's what happens when it does that. I'm going the wrong way. Here we go. Romans 1:18, starting there. "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have clearly been seen," going back to that seen thing, by the way, what we can see, being understood from what had been made, so that men are without excuse. For all they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for degrading their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committing indecent acts with other men and receiving themselves the due penalty for their perversion. So, I believe with all my heart, again, that this is a battle of spiritual forces of evil in heaven realms. This is not a person. I'm getting to the point where I don't want to attack a person. I'm not going to sit there and, that's not where I'm going with this. But the reality is, in Ireland, years ago, gay marriage, the country, is legal. Well, how can you, first of all, make something, it's like saying this is a telephone. Marriage is a union between a man and a wife. That's the definition of it. That's the definition of it. But they made a false definition, but my point being, it's not just some little thing. Gay marriage, you can be married. You can be, they're saying this thing that God's, what did God, I was just reading Romans. What did God just say about it? It's wicked. It's not his plan. It's not the divine order he created from the very beginning. Remember, we're saying Genesis. We're going through the book of Genesis. And I'm talking about his divine order. His divine order says it's a man and woman. By the way, that's the best. God's ways are always best. I mean, he loves us. He's kind. He's perfect. He's holy. He knows what's best. So, as we look at that, there was another verse I wanted to share. So, and so, what's the relevance? How does this work in our lives? Because it's everywhere. I think, first of all, a lot of Christians, we just kind of, well, they either shrug it off, don't pay attention to it, or don't recognize it for exactly how evil it is. And the reason why I say that is because how many churches are there now in America and in Europe that are now gay churches? Think about that now in the context of this word. How does that work? How do you have a gay church? How does that work when he made them male and female? And then Romans, he makes it very clear, it's not a good thing. How does that work? It works because there are people who are spiritually dull, who are not aware, who don't know the truth. You see what I'm saying? That's where the Father would have us understand that his divine order is that it's a man and woman. So when we come in contact with people, we don't. If I meet some person, a man that's gay, I'm not going to say, you know, you sorry dog, you're going to hell. We all go to hell if we don't know Jesus. I mean, that doesn't send a person. The reality is in Romans, it says in Adam all sin. Thanks to Adam, the reality is everybody gets to go to hell if you don't know Christ. But the other side of it is that God would have us be spiritually aware as a people of what the enemy does and speak the truth in love to people. He wants us to speak the truth in love. And another thing, one of the scriptures that really stands out to me, because you'll see on the news, or I'll see a little news blip, things like, you know, there's a gay pride parade in San Francisco or Seattle, and there's thousands of people, guys, thousands of people. And in this verse, in Psalm chapter 12, verse 8 says, "The wicked freely strut about, when what is vile is honored among men." It's honored in those situations. I didn't write this. It's not my book. So what I want to be as a believer is aware, oh, that's the enemy. Father, this is your divine way. You set this up. This is your order. It's wonderful. It's great. It's wonderful. So when I, if I come in contact with someone who is gay, for example, I can say, well, this is what God says. They ask me, well, what do you think about this? Well, let me show you what God says in the very beginning. This is his divine order. This is the way he set up. It's the way he desires. It's the way it's best, period. Anything other than that is a perversion. Another thing, and guys, I don't know if you realize, this is huge in culture. Think about the acceptance of it. Think about what God says. And now think about the acceptance of it in the world. How much the enemy has permeated culture in this arena. Now there's the transgender thing. Well, back in verse, I know I'm getting sarcastic, but so God created them male, the man in his own image, the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God was not confused. I'm not saying someone might have a tendency, some kind of lean toward wanting to change. I'm not sure why. I think at the very least it's a spiritual demonic influence or influence of people. But now culture has said, yes, go ahead, you should change. It's okay, be yourself. Well, how can you be yourself if God says it created them male and female? Did he make a mistake? Does our father lie? Was he confused? Did he not know that we might change? You see what I'm saying? But the world, that's where they go. And the father says, no, I made you male and female. And me and Tom were talking about this, and someone may have a temptation. You know, let's say a tendency to lean toward one to be a lesbian or a gay or go to transgender. It's one thing to be tempted by the enemy. It's another thing to give in to the enemy. And if someone comes to us in our life, guys, we say, no, that's not from the Father. That's where I'm going with this. In our lives, in practical reality, if someone comes in our life and they're struggling with these things, we say, that's not from the Father. Let me show you what his original design is. Let me pray with you about that. The world is saying this, but this is what the Father says. This is the order he planned, and his order is always best. Always. So the relevance of that, of Genesis chapter 2 in life, is the few things I brought up. Simply, when we see things, taste things, smell things, that we are worshipful and thankful to the Father, that he is the maker. And as far as relationships are concerned, man and woman, God called, it's very simple. From the very beginning, a man should be married to a woman and vice versa. I'm not even dealing with saying men are more the whole, you know, he made the man first. Look, man, look, the reality is Adam's the one. It didn't say in Eve all sin in Rome. It says in Adam. Adam's the one, by the way, who disobeyed the Father and knew. I might even get into that. Like I said, there's all kinds of sermons in this, but those are the things I wanted to touch on. So let's pray.